Turn your pew Bible this morning to Proverbs 31. And we're going to start there. We're going to end in Ephesians 5, verse 25. So you're going to hear out of the old and the new this morning. The message is entitled, A Mother Who Fears the Lord. And so I hope it's encouragement to you as moms and dads and fathers. There's going to be a little bit of a challenge for you out here this morning as well in this message. So a good challenge for us. So we're going to learn about this Proverbs 31 woman this morning as a godly woman. And so I'll begin reading at verse 10, Proverbs verse 31, chapter 31. A wife of noble character who can find, she's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Turn with me now to Ephesians 5, verse 25. You're going to find that roughly around 1822 or so in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Just one verse here, but a very important verse this morning. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The reading of the Lord this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've heard from your word, may you bless us with the presence of your Spirit. May you bring these words to life, Lord, and I pray that as these words and this message leaves my mouth, that this is your message to your people today. Lord, may you fill me with that same Spirit, and I just pray too that that Spirit will go out today and fill those that have gathered here in your presence. Lord, may you open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your word. In Jesus we pray these things. Amen. Today I'm preaching about honoring mothers on this special day. It's an honored institution. Without the benefit, we would not be here if we didn't have mothers in our lives. And as a pastor, I need to be reminded not to get too sentimental about motherhood because of these reasons this morning. For some, motherhood might have been unplanned and not always a welcome one. For some, biological motherhood isn't possible. For some, maybe their mother wasn't very nice to them and they have terrible, hard memories of their mom. For some, motherhood under the very best of circumstances is less than a bed of roses. And for others, this is not how motherhood was supposed to go. And I understand that. There can be some hard places and hard times in life. But let me also share with you an inspiring quote this morning from a Dutch poet, Wilhelm Busch, and he said this about mothers: to become a mother is not difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very difficult. Now, I've never been a mother, but if I was to ask you that, there are difficult things that you encounter throughout your life of being a mom. But we still take time to celebrate Mother's Day today. And you might say, well, why do we celebrate this? We have hardships, we have pitfalls, there's broken dreams. We're talking about a beautiful ideal that God has laid out for us today in Scripture about what mothers bring to our lives, what mothers bring to our societies and the world that we live in. And let me share with you this morning, a mother brings love. A mother brings caring for us to understand, especially us men, to understand what God expects from us. And mothers show the world how this is done. That's why we celebrate Mother's Day. Motherhood is a constant demand for the gift of love and caring. Proverbs 31 celebrates godly mothers. And that's what we're going to do today. We are going to celebrate our mothers today. The word or phrase in verse 10, you might have caught that as we read the first one. It says, of noble character. In the NIV, it's a Hebrew word called shael, which literally means strength and valor and excellence is what it describes. So now as we look at these verses, from 10 to 31, about noble character, there are many things that we draw out of there, but I'm just going to give you five real quick this morning of what this Proverbs 31 woman looks like, how she acts, maybe the way that she presents herself, and so on. So here's a quick list. We're going to roll through these, and then we're going to dig deeper into some of these things. Quality number one, and I'll rattle out some verses here, and if you want to write in your outline, you can. Verse 11, 12, and 23, you see that she is trustworthy, and she's devoted. Not only to God, but also to her family. She's trustworthy, and she's devoted. She has her husband's confidence, and she enhances his reputation. Quality number two, she's a woman of diligence and wisdom. You see that in verses 13 through 19. She's not afraid to work. She's a wise person, and she plans ahead. Now, for me and you, now let me just stop for just a moment here and talk about that. She plans ahead. Let me tell you, the way that I operate, and I think most men operate this way too, I need to know what I need to know now, right? She's planning things out a week from now, and the calendar's full. She's telling me, next week, Friday, we got to be here at 7 o'clock. And I say to her, I don't need to know that till Friday morning. And I know she gets frustrated with me, but they get it. Mothers get that. They're multitaskers. They're good at that. They can balance several things at once. I don't know about you men, but I am not a good multitasker. I do what's right in front of me, and I try to do that to the best of my ability. But mothers are always working ahead. God has given them that gift. I truly believe that. Quality number three. I see some of you smiling back and forth in the pew this morning with your husband and wife because you get what I'm talking about. Quality number three, she is a giving person. Verse 20 says that she extends her hand to the poor. She's worried about those around her. It might be family members, it might be neighbors, it might be co-workers, but her heart cares for people and maybe the things that they're going through. Quality number four, she is dependable. Verses 15, 21, and 27 talk about this. When adversity comes, you know that she's already got a plan to deal with whatever it might be. Adversity. She knows what could happen. She's weighed things out. She's prepared for the unexpected. How many of you have a wife or maybe your mom that maybe would dealt with a curveball once in a while in life, could adjust quite well? I mean, that's a gift. to have that. She's dependable. And number five, the last one, she is a woman who loves the Lord. And we see that by reading through all these verses that I shared with you this morning in Proverbs 31. She's someone who is guided and directed by God's word and God's wisdom. That is key for you this morning, mothers, that you're guided by those principles, not the principles of the world or maybe what you're emotionally feeling at the time, but you're guided by the word of God and his wisdom. Now, ladies, let me just share something with you today. Now, you might be reading through this morning, and I share these qualities, and you're thinking, that is not me. I can't live to that expectation. I'm not super mom, right? The Bible kind of sets it up that way, and it looks that way, as this supernatural mom walks beside this great God, and everything's perfect, and life goes well, and there's never hardships or anything like that. And if you're thinking that this morning, that's a pretty good assessment. You see that. And you might be thinking, I can't live up to that all the time. But let me share this with you this morning. Why did God give us Proverbs 31 then in the first place? If it's hard to live up to that, and is this what God's expecting? And I don't think he's expecting us to live to the level of a super mom. But let me share this with you. The real reason we see this type of a woman in Scripture is because the Bible wants to impress upon us that there's not anything more important in society than godly mothers. It's the bedrock. It's the foundation of our families, of our societies, the way we live life. And we need to realize, I think God's trying to tell us, that world, men, children, mothers are so, so important, especially godly mothers. And I think that God wants us to understand that this morning in the lives that we live and we lead. I don't expect you to live up to every little detail that's explained in Proverbs 31. Do not hold yourself to that standard, because you will not be able to keep it all the time. Simply because we live in a sinful world. We're going to slip up. And that's okay. There's grace. Let me talk to you men this morning, to the guys. There's a lesson for us here too today. We need to look at motherhood, mothers, our wives, with, you know, you think about, we need to look at femininity with respect, with encouragement, what God has set forth before us as well. And the Bible warns us over and over again about the anti-Christian forces that are constantly at work in the world that we live in, that's trying to derail mothers, trying to derail the home. Go back to the book of Genesis. Go back to creation. Who did Satan attack first? Anybody want to throw a guess out there? Who? Eve. The first mother, she was immediately attacked by Satan. Now, I realize she wasn't a mother yet, but she was working on that, and things were heading that way. But we see what Satan likes to do. He wants to go right to the core of the family and the way that we should live as societies, and the godly foundations that we try to work on and place within our families. He's trying to derail all of that. We see it come already in the book of Genesis. And that's where I want to talk to you as men today and as children and families. He continues to attack mothers today. Moms and wives, you are under attack. You need to know that. Not only are men and children, but you especially are under attack. And so let me just share with you a few things that might happen. And this is, I'm going to speak to the men here this morning in this congregation, especially husbands. Think about the way that moms might be attacked as it pertains to your life. Sometimes we as husbands, we can become lovers of ourselves. We become more important, our things become more important, our job might become more important than our relationship with our wife. We become lovers of ourselves. We might become lovers of money or things in our life. We might become proud of things. Sometimes, and I'm going to speak to children here, and this does not exclude any of my boys as well. Sometimes they become disobedient, don't they? They don't listen to what we teach them, or sometimes they might get a sharp tongue once in a while. You ever had a child that's done that in the home? Yeah, we could all raise our hand to that, can't we? Sometimes we run into people that are unthankful and they're unloving towards mothers. Evil creeps into our houses. Evil tries to enter the home today in many different ways. Through media, through social media, through outside cultural influences, through maybe the books that they're experiencing or reading. Maybe it's outside of the home, through school or whatever it might be. The humanistic unbiblical ideas and beliefs and behavioral patterns affect the family. They affect the home. And especially they affect the mother. This is where us men need to be aware of these things. Because she is the keeper of the home. You have something, men, that you need to be aware of and needs to be on your radar, that you are the protector of the home from those evil attacks. Notice I didn't say you were the builder. She's the builder of the home, the way that God has laid that out in our life. But men, you are the protector of the home. Now you might think, well, yeah, I'm a big guy. I can lock the doors at night and my gun's loaded and I'm ready to protect my family. But what are you doing spiritually to protect your home? To protect your wife, to protect your children's mother. That's what I'm talking about this morning. And so husbands and fathers, you need to take note of this. You are the protector of the home. You need to sort out the things that infiltrate your home. You need to protect the lives of your children and your families. You can't do a whole lot about it when they might leave for school in the morning or they go to college or whatever, but you can do a lot when they're under your care and they're in your home or you have an opportunity to speak wisdom into their lives, to tell them, be careful of these things. Make sure you stand on the Word of God. Make sure you pray about the things that come at you in life, that you can give them the foundation that they need. And so, husbands, fathers, I'm going to challenge you on that. Ephesians 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's sacrifice. It clearly states that husbands are to lead their families. But it also says they are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church. In other words, we're to love our wives sacrificially. Now, you might be asking, how do I do that? What do I need to do to love my wife sacrificially, that she knows I got her back, that I'm her protector, and I'm doing everything I can to make her that great woman that Proverbs 31 talks about? Let me just give you just a few things. You need to love your wife unconditionally, no matter whether you're in your home, you're outside of your home, you're out in the community and stuff like that. Because if you don't, you distort the picture that marriage provides to the rest of the world about Christ's love. How are you treating your wife? What are the things you're saying to her? Are you lifting her up? Are you encouraging her? Are you walking beside her? Because Christian marriage is a picture of Christ and his church to the unbelieving world. You want to know how to witness? That's how you witness. Husbands, how are you treating your wives? Because they're the mothers of your children. And believe me, there's little eyes that are watching you within your families, your children. And so if we fail to love our wives like this sacrificially, and I'll get into a few more details of what that sacrificially looks like, we actually sin against our wives and our children. How many of you ever thought about it that way? When we don't follow God's commandment to love our wives sacrificially, and I know we're going to mess up once in a while, and maybe some of us a lot, there's forgiveness and grace, but we should try to do that. Because when we fail at that, we actually sin against them. We don't show them how a loving, godly marriage should look like and be in the world that we live in. And here's another thing I want to challenge you men on today. As the protectors of the home, take care of your children. Not only physically, not only by providing for them, but get this. Remember I talked about those disobedient children once in a while with the sharp tongue, and maybe once in a while they might raise their voice at their mom, or maybe when they're little they might lift a hand once in a while at their mom. I'm telling you, fathers, you step into those situations and you protect the mom. You be the father. You lead. That's what God says. Don't just sit back and let your children walk all over their mom and say what they want to and disrespect them. You address that and you be the dad. There's nothing that makes my skin boil worse when I see a father sit back there and just allow things to happen and watch children just run over their mom. That is so unbiblical. And maybe you're a father sitting back there today thinking, boy, I need some help in that area, and pray for help. Ask somebody for help if you need some direction in that, with what that should look like. Do not tolerate that in your home. Step up in those situations, fathers. Be the leader. Protect your wife from those issues that creep into your home. That's how Satan works, and we need to be aware of those things. Now, as you can see from our text today, there is a great demand on our mothers. Al shared this list. You can see that we had the policeman, the peace officer within the family. You had the cook. You had the construction worker that builds the home and so on. There's so many things that get attached onto a mom that have to go on. And so you think about the list that your wife does, so take a moment and do that, those things that might happen, that as a mom, she does these things, and maybe you think of your own mom as well this morning, all right? You ever wonder, what keeps a mom from going over the edge? Have you ever wondered that? Bus driver, cook, police officer, construction worker, all kinds of things go on in their lives, don't they? Like, how do they stay sane in the midst of all these things? Ask yourself that question this morning. How do we keep our mothers from going over the edge? How do we help them succeed in becoming this noble woman that the Bible speaks of? All right, here's what I talked about when you start to sacrifice for your mom or for your wife in your relationship. Here's the point that the Bible speaks of. We touched on one important note already, and that's the necessity of a loving husband and obedient kids. But men, to love your wife sacrificially means that you help out. And now some of you are thinking, well, how do I help? What do I do? Well, here's the list. You do the laundry. You do the dishes. You clean the house once in a while. You take her out to eat. You do what she asks if she needs help from time to time. You pray for her. You walk with her in life. You be by her side. You hold her hand once in a while. And you love her the way that God loved the church, the way Christ loved the church. Nothing should be beneath you. For some of you, this is going against the grain. Because we had such roles of what the mother does and what the husband does, and we're so used to that. But let me tell you, we live in a society today where moms work and dads work, and this young generation is so different than our older generation and the way that they grew up, that this is how life is lived now for these younger generations. They work together to be mom and dad. It's not always easy. And for older parents, you've been through some things that most people have never experienced yet. You have wisdom, you have knowledge that you can share with these young moms and these young people that they need to know and they need to learn, but it's got to be done with love and respect, and you got to walk with each other. That's what Proverbs 31 looks like. That's how your wife becomes this virtuous woman that can do these great things by your support and your help. In the home. How many are going to go home and vacuum the floor this afternoon? Right? Yeah. That's what's got to happen, people. Men, notice those things. Because we can become pretty self-consumed on what's going on in our own lives. So that's my challenge to you as men this morning. Now, ladies, let me provide you with some encouragement today as we begin to wrap up this message on this Mother's Day. Mothers, you need to have your priorities straight or in line. And I know a lot of you do have that, but here's what I want to challenge you with, just to keep them in that type of order. So I'm going to jump to Luke 10. Now, I don't want you to take your Bible out because the story's familiar. Jesus goes to Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house, and Jesus comes in there. He sits down, and Mary sits at Jesus' feet. And she just wants to be with Jesus and learn about him and share life with him. And Martha, she's busy working in the kitchen, preparing food and doing the busy work of life and the things that have to happen. So here's my challenge today for you mothers. You don't want to be Martha's. You want to be Mary's. That's the priority that you should have in your life, is that you first need to spend time with Jesus. That's how you become that noble woman in your life. And without Jesus, God says it in Scripture, without Jesus, you can do nothing. You become a Martha. Martha became bitter at the world. Martha went to Jesus and said, "What are you going to do about this Mary? She's doing nothing to help me." See, Martha didn't have her priorities right. Mary did. Now, that doesn't excuse us from having to do the household chores and the work that needs to go on. We're still called to do those things, but we have to have our priorities right. Mothers, make sure that God, that Jesus, is always first in your life. Take the time to sit at his feet and pray and read Scripture and build up yourself in the name of God. Do that. Don't slip into the mold of Martha. You don't want to live there. It's no fun. Life is hard. It's difficult. And so let me ask you a question this morning. It's on the top of the screen. Moms, do you find yourself so busy that you don't take time to sit at the feet of Jesus? That you don't take time to listen to his word? That you don't take time to take your burdens and your gifts and maybe your prayers and those things, take them to God and ask for help. Ask for understanding in your life. Look at the last two verses of Proverbs 31. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You see, the woman who finds her values in her looks and outward appearance misses the whole point. But a woman who looks to the Lord and her faith is strong and she's got her priorities right, that God's first, that's where it's at. She's to be praised in this world. Godly beauty far outweighs outward beauty. And may I just encourage you with those words today. Happy Mother's Day to our mothers. And all of God's people said, amen.